Amen. Good to be back with you today. We miss y'all when we're away.
Amen.
Except for Brother Chris out there a little bit. He was in having a vacation and some other things going on, but good to be back with you all today. Amen. Glad that God's working in our midst. And that was a blessed song. What? Amen.
Amen.
There's hope. Amen. For the weary.
That's right.
There's rest. And you know, I love that where God talks about bringing His people into a place of rest. Amen. And so, you know, this Christian journey we're in now, although we have rest, it's not the premier rest that we seek for.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
And that's on the other side. And so if you get the Bible, look with us back to the book of Joshua. I'm going to begin reading here a little bit. See some things maybe God would have us see.
Yeah.
I want to be much in prayer for our leaders.
Yeah.
Praying for our country. Praying for these that are sick, as Brother Donnie mentioned.
Yeah,
sure, praying for God's protection. Amen.
Right.
I think Brother Ricky and Brother Hayward was up in our neighborhood last weekend.
Uh-huh.
Brother Ricky sent a text.
Uh-huh.
Just about a mile through the woods, across the creek. They was over there singing. We missed them, didn't get to see them, but they was in striking distance, wasn't they?
Yes.
So we're looking forward to that. That's the 15th. You said the 15th of August? Amen. Looking forward to that. So let's be much in prayer. Let's go to God in prayer as we read His Word here and ask Him to bless us. Father, come today and minister to us and meet our needs.
Thank you, God.
God, these that are afflicted, we pray for. The lost, we pray for.
Yeah.
We ask you, God, to bless our country.
Oh,
Lord, to pardon us for our many errors and ways. But God, we ask you to heal our land.
Heal,
God, minister and unite. Father, it seems impossible in our country, but you're able to do it. We pray you will.
Yeah.
We ask you to minister, give us revival. And God, we ask you to point men and women to the Savior that they may be saved. Amen. The biggest cure that we could have in our land today is for men and women to be saved. We ask you to do that, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name, now bless the reading of your word, and we'll praise you again. In Christ's name, amen. Joshua chapter number 9, if you've got your Bible, I want you to look there with me. Joshua chapter 9, we're going to begin reading a few verses here. And we're going to see some things of interest that probably doesn't get preached a lot, doesn't get pointed out a lot, but it needs to be known unto the believer, the mature believer or the brand new believer. Amen.
Yeah.
And so look with me in the 9th chapter, the first verse. Well, the word said, it came to pass when all the kings that were on this side Jordan in the hills and in the valleys and in the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, the word said they heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wilily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes, and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye, and from whence came ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country. Thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. And all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites, Og and Sihon. Look in verse 11. Wherefore our elders and all our inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey. Go to meet them and say unto them, we are your servants. Now therefore make ye a league with us. So what happens here is the Gibeonites have heard the story of what happened to Ai.
Right.
Let's set the stage for you a little bit. The children of Israel have crossed the River Jordan. God brought them across, remember, on dry ground. And there was not even mud in their sandals when they crossed that river. That's how dry it was when God got done.
Amen.
So God set them up for success. They came over the river, and we know that they had defeated those in the city there of Jericho, and they watched the walls fall flat, and all of these things happened. God spared Rahab the harlot. Remember that story? And so everything's going good, and the enemies, the men of Ai now, have thought, well, those of Jericho couldn't beat them back, but maybe we can. And as they sought to go against them, God destroyed them. And so the Gibeonites are a neighboring town, and so they have the story. Listen, they don't have an internet. They don't have three channels. They don't have Comcast. But the word got around, and they have heard the story that the men of the children of Israel are defeating everything that gets in their way. And the Gibeonites decide it would probably be a good time to see if we could call a truce and approach them and trick them and let them make them believe that we're from somewhere far away and all our bread's moldy and everything we got's rotten. Our shoes are rotten, our clothes are rotten, our bread's rotten, everything's rotten. And if you'll let us, we'll just be your servant.
Yeah, that's it.
They knew that was the only way they was going to survive, because elsewise, they were next.
Right.
God was giving them everything in their way. He'd been doing that for 40 years. Remember, he'd done it. Although God punished the children of Israel because of their unbelief, they wouldn't go across the river. They could have been in the land of Canaan in 18 months or less. But they saw, and they wouldn't believe God, and God turned them back. And so when they went back, you know the story. Here God's got Moses out of the way. He's raised up Joshua, and Joshua leads them, and victory is everywhere they go, and the Gibeonites figure it out.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, God's with those folks.
Yes, sir.
God's with them. And we can't defeat them. We can't stop them. All we need to do is see if we can get on board and be a part of them.
Yes.
You know, this is where the sinner, this is a message for the sinner as well as the believer, because the sinner outside of saving grace needs to figure out that God's too big, you can't stop him, and you can't whip him. Now, Brother John used to say this a lot when we were talking about Brother John earlier this morning. One of Brother John's favorite sayings was from Exodus 15, where Moses sang his song. Remember when he sung his song, he said, the Lord is a man of war.
Right.
Brother John talked about an old preacher that would always say, the Lord's a man of war, and you can't whip him. You can't whip God. And they knew. Listen, this is where the unbeliever or the backslider's got to figure this out. And even we need to be reminded that are in good graces with God. And so that's only because of the grace of God. We need to be reminded that you can't whip God. And so they came and they approached them and deceived them. And old Joshua might have scratched his head a little bit when he was listening to this story they're telling. And they're talking about how far they come and how far they travel. And couldn't you see them? Couldn't you see them once again that they would say, hey, look at our bread. See our bread? And they tell them a few more things. And so see this old moldy bread? See these old rotten clothes? And he said, are you sure you come from afar? Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Joshua, we have come from afar. But they just come from right over the hill.
Yeah, that's true.
They were street smart. You know, the believer needs to be street smart, don't they?
Yes, amen.
I think that's something that gets lost in the correlation. You know, we're to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That came right out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus. Be ye therefore wise as serpents. So what's that mean? You don't take everything at face value. And Joshua was wise. No doubt he was very wise. Remember now, Joshua is Moses' minister. Remember, he's down at the bottom of the rock where God's showing up and giving Moses all of those great stones. Joshua is his minister. Joshua's down there waiting on him to come down. When Moses, remember this story when Moses come down the mount and he's seen the sin of the people? I mean, the people, you know, they're doing all these things that they're doing. That's party time. They're dance, they eat, drink, rose up to play, the word said. And so they're defiling themselves one with another. And Moses is so uptight. He's been up on this mount for 40 days and 40 nights. And so he comes down and he sees that. And he's got these rocks, these stone plates that God gave him. Ten Commandments is wrote on them, remember? And so he's so upset, he throws down the stones and they broke. Joshua was down there helping them pick them up. Joshua has been with Moses side by side. And now Moses is gone and Joshua's in charge. And so he's listening to these men of Ai. There's a lot of comedy in this story.
Yes.
He's listening to them. And so he goes with what they said. Sometimes we do that, church. You go with what you're told, don't you?
Right.
It's a little bit of what we see where the word said, brethren, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they be of God.
Amen.
Well, look, we all can be taken sometimes. And Joshua said, tell you what, these men had made him an offer. They said, we will be your servant forever. We'll be your servant forever.
Amen.
And so that sounded pretty good. We got the story, these men from afar, and they made a truce with them. Those Gibeonites understood. We can't beat them. I don't know where the bumping is coming out of my... It's coming out of my... Can't leave it in my pocket. Keep y'all getting feedback on it. But I'll stay still best I can. So the Gibeonites are smarter than the average bear. And you're going to see this here. When they came to destroy them, watch now. They've talked about this fact that it's with a long journey. And here when they find out that they're not so far away, look into verse number 23. Joshua said, now therefore are ye cursed, and there be none of you be free from being bondmen and hewers of wood, as woodcutters, and drawers of water, that's water toters.
Yeah.
What's your title, son? To water toters, what to do.
That's it.
And they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land, watch now, and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore, we were so afraid of our lives because of you and have done this thing.
Amen.
You know what that means?
Yeah.
They believed. They believed what they heard.
Yeah.
They believed what folks had witnessed and watched. Jericho, by the way, is not a city anymore.
No.
They destroyed it. The men of Ai are not living anymore. God destroyed them.
Yeah.
And they said, we understand that we're next, outside of a truce, outside of a covenant, outside of the help of God. And you know what it says? It says something to the lost. Outside of a truce with God, we have no hope. Outside of the help of God, we have no help. And so here they realize this is a type of the unbeliever coming to Christ. And so we see this when we realize this is what every person that's ever been saved done.
Yeah.
They waved the white flag of surrender. And they said to the Holy Ghost, God's right. And God's a man of war. And you can't defeat Him. And you can't beat Him. And there's nothing we can do but say, oh me, and surrender.
Amen.
That's what they done.
Yes.
And Joshua said, well, you're going to tote wood? You're going to tote water? And they said, we'll be glad to.
Yes, sir.
And watch now, because something of interest happens in these men's lives. So they believed. And they said, be it unto us. We'll serve you forever. Mm-hmm. And verse 26 says, therefore, Joshua slew them not. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood, drawers of water. Look down into chapter 10, verse 1. Now it came to pass. This is where the story changes a little bit.
Yeah.
These men are happy being servants. Listen, their whole cities. Every time they took a city, they took everything that it had. All the cattle, all the sheep, all the servants, all the men, all the women, put them in servitude. And so you could see that this camp of the children of Israel is so huge. It's not a few thousand folks. It is millions of people.
Yes.
And I think we referenced this one time by the army of the children of Israel when they came out. When that army was numbered, this is going to show you a little bit of how big the camp of Israel was. The men of war were 603,550. So at 603,550, that's just the army.
Yeah.
That's not counting the women.
Right.
That's not counting the children and the grandchildren and everybody else and the servants and the servants. It doesn't count all of them. We're talking about millions of people.
Man.
They believed in youngins. They had lots of youngins. And, and some of them had lots of wives. And, and so they had more youngins. And all of these things going on, millions of Jews have come through. And everywhere they went, they swept it up.
Yes.
Gibeon says, they had a council meeting.
Yeah.
And said, we're either going to make an agreement, do our best, fall on their mercy. This is where every unbeliever is today.
Yeah.
If we don't fall on the mercy of God, this is what coming to Christ is. Joshua in this text is a type of Christ who these folks, unbelievers, heathens if you will, come to Joshua and appeal for mercy.
Yeah.
Well, ain't that what you done when you got saved?
Right.
That's what I did.
Yes, sir.
I appealed for mercy.
Amen.
Why? Because God's a man of war. You can't whip it. And so what do? You surrender to it. And this is what they realized. And in their little city council meeting, before they ever went to see Joshua, they said, look, there's nothing. We have heard the story. The men of Ai are no more. They're gone. So what else are we going to do? What's plan B? We're going to punt on third down? They realized they had to come and fall on the mercy.
Right.
Chapter 10, it came to pass when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how that Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, and as it was done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon made peace with Israel, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city. Not a little hole in the wall, not a little spot in the road. This is a great city.
Yeah.
If you remember the Gibeonites, we got a king out of Gibeon. His name was King Saul. He was the first king that God ever raised up. Remember him?
Yes.
He lived in Gibeon. And so here, that's later on down the road, good bit later, when Saul comes out of Gibeon. But this kind of gives you a little insight on the town. And so it's huge. And it was a great city, the Word of God said. It's one of the royal cities. So this is not podunk. This is not some little spot on the side of the road. And so these men have heard what happened, and they had wisdom enough. God, give us wisdom to fall on the mercy of God. And this is why I pray our country would get this. That without the mercy of God and the shield of God, the protection of God, what do we have? We don't have anything. And so here they were. Here they were. We find it where God can take some rustling leaves and cause the whole people to leave town overnight. We see that in the Word of God. God knows how to upset the apple cart. God can take this country and bring it to naught before you could take a nap. God can do whatever He wants to. We see it right here. And those Gibeonites figured it out and said, we need mercy. It's what we need.
Amen.
It's what every sinner needs, every backslider needs, and every believer needs.
That's it.
Mercy. You said, preacher, I'm saved. Don't need mercy. Oh, yeah, you do.
Oh, yeah.
We need lots of it, don't we?
That's it. Yeah.
We need it daily. We need the daily dose and we need the adult dose of mercy. Amen. And so we see it right here. Watch that. So when everything's going on, and these five kings of Jerusalem, now that's not five kings of the Jerusalem we know, that's the five kings of the ancient Jerusalem before God ever took it.
Yeah.
And so you got to remember, God has given them this land, and so little by little they're taking these towns over. And they're going to the place God told them, and they're inhabiting what God gave them, and everybody else got to get on board or go, one or the other.
Yes.
And the part of going usually wasn't good.
That's true.
Because God's command was kill everything that breathes. That's how you handle that.
Amen.
And so they realize that, and here comes these five kings. Now Gibeon, watch. Ai thought they could whip them. And Gibeon understood, we can't whip him. And then these five kings of Jerusalem, they've got it on their mind, they're going to come from the east, and they're going to beat God's youngins down and stop this march toward the land of Canaan.
Right.
And so as they do that, Gibeon realizes, we're going to find out if we made the right move or the wrong move. Church, there's never a bad time to fall on the mercy of God, is there?
That's right, preacher.
There's never a bad plan.
No.
And they realize that God's in control and God's in the way. Watch now, He's in the way of the things that are about to happen. In verse 4, come up unto me. Gibeon said, come up and help me. The kings did, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Then he describes those five kings in verse 5. Go down a little bit for the sake of time. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying. Now remember, those men have kept their word. They've been toting wood. They've been toting water. They've been feeding animals. They said, look, we'll tend to your flocks. We'll tend to your crops. We'll dig all your wells. We'll do it all. Those Gibeonites, that's what they told them back there in the ninth chapter. And they made a league together. And they had a contract. That's what he's talking about. And now here comes these five kings. And they know there's about to be a beatdown. If the men of Israel and the camp of Israel doesn't stand up. And so watch now in the 6th verse. Slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us.
Yeah.
See, that's the privilege. What we're talking about in the national scene right here of a town or a city or a land, a county, whatever you want to call it, submitting to God is a type of the believer submitting to God that serves God faithfully and has a contract with God. I'm talking about there's a covenant with God.
Yes.
That's what a covenant is. It's a contract where we have given ourselves to the Lord. If you're saved, that's what you are. You have an agreement with God that you're going to serve Him and you're going to serve Him forever. And when the enemy comes, this is what happens, church. This is when prayer is so important in the believer's life. When the enemy comes, we want to call out to God and say what they say and say, slack not thy hand. Don't forget us down here. I know we're not so important.
Yeah.
Humility is what we need. And they said, we know we're down here on the bottom side and we're servants and we don't sit inside the city council meetings, but don't forget us.
Yeah.
Don't forget us. Slack not thy hand.
Amen.
Come up quickly. Save us. Help us. Yeah. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended. Let me tell you, it's what Jesus did when he come out of the grave. What?
Amen.
He that descended into the lower parts of the earth. Did you know that Jesus went down to hell for you and for me?
Amen.
He descended into the lower parts of the earth. Oh no, that's not just the grave.
No.
Actually, the grave that Jesus in was probably above ground.
Yeah.
He descended into the lower parts of the earth. And we know what happened there. That he that ascended took captivity captive. And so we find it that Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth. And he took control even of those things going on there. Amen. And when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And so here, what they're asking is, don't slack thy hand. Don't forget about us. This is a believer's prayer. When we need help of God, what do we say? Don't forget us, oh God. Don't forget us.
Amen.
We're your servant.
That's it.
And those fellows probably thought, well, we're going to find out if our covenant's any good. Because those boys are coming. We can hear the rumbling of the horses.
Yes.
We hear the march. And we hear the song that the army's singing as they come. And they're crying out to Joshua, slack not thy hand, save us. Watch now, watch the cry. It ought to be the cry of every believer. Save us, help us. And so I think about Peter. Remember when Peter, the Lord told him, he said, if you be you, bid me come unto you. It's what Peter said to Jesus. And Jesus said, come.
Yes.
And so Peter stepped out and began to walk on the water. And he's walking on the water and everything's going good as long as his faith's good. But when his faith starts slipping, he starts sinking and he starts going down. And you know the most important words that Peter ever said in his whole life was, Lord, save me.
Amen.
And Jesus saved him.
Sure.
Pulled him out of the sinking water. And put him back in the boat. Peter had courage enough to get out of the boat.
Yes, sir.
We're not kicking Peter for his courage.
No.
We're extolling God for his help.
Amen.
And his salvation. That's what Gibeon's saying. They got a battle on their hands like they've never seen before. They dodged one bullet. The children of Israel didn't kill them all. And take their wives and children and put them into servitude and take their farms and all the land. So they dodged one bullet, but now they got another bullet coming. It's on the way. And those five kings. And so they're crying out like we cry out. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't cry out, you need to understand the power of that. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, it can be. It doesn't have to be a formal prayer for God to hear you, does it? It's that asking him. And sometimes we don't have time to have the formal prayer.
Yeah.
I would say if we were honest with each other, most of our praying is not formal praying. And that's okay. We don't need formal praying so much as we need that in, you know, the congregation or whatever. But pray. That's the important part. It's not how formal. Listen, when somebody's trying to kill you, like they were these fellas, you pray, it may not be formal. Amen. Let's just put a memo out on that. And so, understanding that the communication God wants, you know, sometimes there can be communication between family members and hardly no words spoken. Is that not so? You can see them, the look in the eye across the room, and you know what's being conveyed because of the closeness. God, give us that kind of closeness with him.
Amen.
And Peter said, Lord, save me.
Yes.
He didn't have time to get into anything else. And so it comes to pass right here in these men's lives. The whole family's at stake. The whole nation of Gibeon or the town or province, whatever it was, So God said, verse number 8, as Joshua ascended, the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. And there shall not a man of them stand before thee. And Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them. Wait, who did that? What, Joshua, was it?
No.
Did you see it?
Yes.
They're calling on Joshua to help. God knows the agreement they've made together. And while they're calling on Joshua to help, no doubt Joshua called on God to help. And so the Lord discomfited them. You know what Christ is, don't you? He is a go-between between us and God. We approach God as they approached God through Joshua, and God heard Joshua's prayer. Jehoshua is a word that translates into Jesus.
Yeah.
That goes back to the root meaning of Jehoshua, Joshua, do you see it?
Right.
And so here, Joshua, the type of Christ, and as they call out to Joshua, what do? When we pray, we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus said in John 14:14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's a promise.
Yeah.
I like that promise, don't you?
Amen.
And he said it again. And he said it again. If you ask anything in my name,
there you go.
I'll do it. And so as they prayed and cried out to Joshua, the word said, the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I delivered them.
Yes.
Joshua therefore came suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night, and the Lord discomfited before Israel and slew them. And looked down a little further, with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them. You do believe God knows how to chase away your enemies, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he can chase them away. And so they're approaching on you, and you feel that fear, maybe in the dark of night, or you feel that anxiety. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you ought to ask God just to chase away your enemies.
Yes, amen.
And cause this anxiety to flee. God can do that.
Amen.
Yeah, he could put 10,000 to flight and never lift a finger. That's the kind of God we serve. This is the relationship.
Right.
What you see in the concessions early on in this text, now you see in the relationship, and it's a type of the relationship with the children of God, with God, where we cry unto him. And he hears.
Yes.
And so the Lord did it. He discomfited them, slew them with a great slaughter, and chased them along the way that goeth before. This is the interesting part. Verse 11. And it came to pass, as they fled from going before Israel, and were in going down to Beth-horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. And there were more which died with hailstones. This goes back to the crowd that says, well, yeah, that got accomplished and I did it. Joshua can't say that. All the bragging rights taken away.
Yes.
If those Gibeonites were ever wondering what kind of God Joshua served, they're about to find out.
That's it, preacher.
And so here, people say, well, that was Old Testament preacher. God don't do stuff like that today. When did he change?
Yeah.
And I missed that verse.
That's right.
Didn't get that memo. But I did get something out of Malachi where he said, I'm the Lord, chapter 3, verse 6. I'm the Lord, I change not.
Right.
That I never change.
Amen.
And so while they're worrying about what's going to happen in this battle, God's not worried, because the word said he's cast down great stones from heaven. And they died with hailstones. And there were more which died with the hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. So who fought the battle?
There you go.
God did.
Amen.
God fought the battle. And those Gibeonites just had sense enough to repent and submit and get on board and believe God and get out of the way and let God. Amen?
Yes.
And so then they spake to Joshua, or then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day. See, it even gets better. Those Gibeonites, had they persisted to fight the children of Israel, you know what would happen? They'd all die. They wouldn't see none of this. See, it's as much where we are, church. When we fight against the will of God and the cause of God, we're not going to see great things, number one, and we're not going to participate in them, number two. And people don't know. This is what happens. Unbelievers don't know. They don't know what they're missing. They don't know what they don't know. And they think ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
You know, when we were, you know, kicking up our heels and acting crazy, all of us in our past, whenever that was, wherever that was, all of those things, we were blinded by the fact that we thought we had life figured out and had the world by the tail and all of these things, and come to find out none of those things were true.
That's true.
We didn't know.
Yeah.
What we didn't know, did we, Brother Gary? Didn't know it. And this is where these folks are. They're just trying to save their hide. And now they're watching great exploits. These Gibeonites called out one time. Did you see that? Did you see where they read, they rang Joshua's phone over and over and over? I didn't. I said where they sent word one time.
Yes.
He said, "Preacher, if I don't pray, you know, if I don't pray from now to daylight, God won't hear you." That's not so. He's a faithful Father. He hears us when we ask Him.
Right.
Yeah. God's not dead. And He ain't on welfare.
No, sir.
And He don't have a hearing aid.
No.
Or a pacemaker. No offense to anybody who has one. God don't. And so the Gibeonites are figuring out, wow, I think we made the right decision.
Yes.
You know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen in the big scheme of things? Whether you go the way of the grave, or you go the way of the rapture, or you don't go the way of the rapture. You know what's going to make the big difference? Well, one of the biggest revelations, rather, of what you're going to see is if you submitted to God, you're going to say, "I made the best decision I ever made in my life. Look at what's going on."
Hallelujah.
And if you don't know Christ, you're going to say, "I made the worst decision I could ever make by not giving my life to Christ."
Amen.
So what's going to happen?
Godhead.
Listen, when they entered this league, there was no fire flying right then, remember? They just didn't want to be killed. So they went and had a little county meeting with those fellows that come into town that's killing everything that breathes. And they said, "Hey, look, I'll tell you what, we'll go ahead and wave white flag and surrender right now, and we'll hold your gardens, we'll tote your water, we'll do all these things."
Yeah.
They didn't even realize what they were getting into. I think that's true for most people. When sinners get saved, it's because of desperation. It's not that they're in desperation, but they have the anxiety of desperation in their heart.
Yeah.
They feel that. I did. Brother Jamar probably did too.
Yeah.
When God was, listen, people say, "Well, I don't know what that means." Well, if you've ever been under Holy Ghost conviction, you know exactly what that means, because that's a desperate feeling.
It sure is.
It's like God saying, "Now or never," and you're like, "Whoa, what's going on?" And God's speaking and drilling. I mean, He's dead in line with the accord of the heart and a sinner's in a desperate mode. And they either submit to God or defy God and go on their merry way.
That's it.
And so here, these fellows didn't even know what they were signing up for. But watch, one more thing I want to show you before we close. So the spoil of these cities, verse 14, and the cattle, the children of Israel, took for a prey unto themselves. But unto every man they smote with the edge of the sword, until they destroyed them, neither left any to breathe. That's pretty thorough, isn't it?
Yes.
And the Lord commanded Moses, Yeah, Moses the servant. So did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses.
Yes.
So Joshua took all the land, the hills and the south country, and the land of Goshen, the valley, the plain, the mountains of Israel, and the valley of the same, even from Mount Halah. And Joshua made war, verse 18, a long time with all those kings. Watch now. And there was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel save the Hivites and the inhabitants of Gibeon.
Yes.
All other they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts.
Yeah.
The Hivites and the Gibeonites were the only one of all those tribes. And there's a lot of them. Don't forget, we read them earlier. The Perizzites, the Jebusites. There's lots of them, but only these fell on God's mercy. And the reason that they fell on God's mercy is for one thing. We read it right there in the last verse. God did not harden their hearts.
Yeah, there you go.
See, we think it's up to us. Let's get this straight. We think salvation is what we do.
Yeah.
But you know how many of those men, women, boys, and girls got saved that God hardened their hearts or that it was spared? Zero.
That's it.
Why? Because God hardened their hearts. They thought they could whip God. And so the same thing happens in the application of salvation. Unless we understand it's God that gives us a heart of repentance. It's God. Repentance doesn't come from us. It comes from Him. He grants it, Romans said. God grants us grace to repent.
Amen.
Outside of that, we're not even looking for the Lord.
Amen.
Got no ear to hear Him?
No.
No eye to search Him? Outside of understanding that salvation is what Jonah figured out is of the Lord.
Right.
So Jonah said, hey, throw me out of this boat and everything will be fine.
That's it.
They threw him out. Seas went calm. Jonah realized what these Gibeonites realized, that most Americans don't.
Yeah.
Salvation's of the Lord.
That's it.
God's got to do it, don't He? And so we read about the hailstones. We read about how many God killed there. We read about all of these things. But the most important part I want you to see right here.
Yeah.
Verse 20. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that He might destroy them utterly, and that they, watch now, might have no favor.
Yeah.
And that they, pardon me, but that He might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. You know what happened? God got ready to do something. He just hardened their hearts. But the Gibeonites, you know what they understood? If there was going to be any mercy shown, they wanted to receive it.
Yeah.
If there was going to be any help granted, they wanted to get it.
Yeah.
That's the way we ought to be, church. If God's going to do anything great, I want to be on His side.
Amen.
If God's going to send down hailstones and kill folks, I hope it ain't my folks. I hope it's somebody else's folks. And so that's what they saw. What is it? What is it that our God will not do for His youngins?
There you go.
And those Gibeonites just had one thing. One thing in mind, and that was survival. They wanted to survive. They didn't even know as we stand together.
Yeah.
They didn't even know. They didn't even realize the great things that was going to happen in their life in the next few days. They didn't even realize that God's going to send down hailstones and take armies out and all of these things. They just wanted survival, and that's what happens to us. We get into the life of daily struggle, and it's like, oh, we just got to pay the bills and get the mortgage done and all of this stuff and get the babies raised, and it's survival. We get in that survival mode. We got to survive. But we don't even know the great things God wants to do.
Yes, that's right.
For you and I.
Hallelujah.
Well, those Gibeonites found out. Amen. They found out. And they realized that God is great. We teach our children the prayer. And God is good. Amen. And so what is it? Salvation's of the Lord. And Jonah realized it. And everybody else realized it. And Peter said, Lord, help me. And here, God, Joshua's calling out for help. And everybody that realizes, as much when Moses brought the children of Israel up to the brink of the Red Sea, and so they can hear the clanging of the horses, they can hear all these things going on in the background, that crowd is coming. When is God going to part this Red Sea?
Yes, amen.
You know when he done it? Right on time, that's when.
Sure it is, brother.
And that's what he done for these.
Hallelujah.
And God give us a picture here. What's it mean? We can be vessels of mercy. And we can be vessels of honor.
That's right.
But it'll only be. The only thing that marked those Gibeonites different was a heart of surrender.
Yes.
And spiritually speaking, the only thing that's going to mark me and you different, maybe Miss Emily can come play something. What's going to mark you and I different from anybody else that we meet and greet? It's going to be, do we know Christ?
Yes.
Or don't we?
Yes.
Saved or lost?
That's it.
In or out?
That's it.
Heaven or hell?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we say that so much, it falls into, oh yeah, we know that goes hand in hand with church, heaven or hell, saved or lost.
Yeah.
If you go back in the lives of these people right here, it come to fruition. It didn't take long, did it? And when trouble come and they heard all of the things that's going on and the enemy's coming against them, they sent for help. It's what prayer life is.
Yes.
Every time we pray and ask God, Brother Danny, we are sending for help.
Yes.
Lord, I need your help. Need your strength. Need your power. Need your grace. Need the victory.
Yes.
Need revival. Need a stirring, God.
Amen.
Heads bow, eyes closed. I wonder this morning, is anybody here today that would say, not to me, not out loud, but you would say it within. Preacher, I'm like those Gibeonites. I need help. I need to be stirred. Need to be moved upon. I'm crying out for strength.
Yes.
Crying out for hope.
Yes.
For help. And for help. Let us say it with Peter. You said, preacher, I'm already saved. That's okay. We can still ask God, Lord, save me.
Yes.
Lord, save me. Not for salvation of the soul, but for the strength and the help and the power of God. The victory of God. These Gibeonites realized and they told Joshua, they said, look, they reminded Joshua of the commitment they made. They said, you said do this, this, and this, and we've done it. And now we've got the enemy on our backs and we need help.
Yes.
There's help in the Savior, church. Joshua being a type of Christ, but I tell you, we serve the very Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Call upon the Lord.
Yes.
Trust God. Believe Him. Preacher, I got battles going on nobody else knows about. They don't have to. Tell Jesus. Call upon Him. I like this part because they told Joshua, look, we made an agreement. You know what they were doing? They were playing the cards that they had. You know what we do when we come back to God in prayer? We remind Him that He's our Father. We're His children.
Yes.
And we need help from the Lord.
Oh, God. Yes.
Old backslid Jonah was sleeping down in the bottom. Me out of this boat and all your problems will be done. And then we know that God had prepared a great fish and swallowed Jonah. And Jonah said, from the belly of hell I cried. I cried. Who'd he cry to? He ain't crying to them mariners. They done gone. He's crying out to God because he needs help and strength. Anybody this morning needs help and strength like that? You may not be in the well, Billy, but it feels like it sometimes. The pressure, the stress, the things going on in your life, the heartache, the grief, relationships, whatever it is, you need the help of God and you know it. You need prayer? Come on, pray. We'll pray together with you. Tell the Lord about it. They said, Joshua, we made a covenant. Now that covenant makes two ways. Not only do you get our servitude, but we get your protection. I want to tell you, church, when you serve God, you've got His protection. Amen.
Yes.
You can remind Him of all of His promises. You won't offend Him. You can tell Him of everything He said. And it'll only make God smile. He loves His Word.
Yes.
He's never going to get nervous. Never going to run out of strength. And he said, I'm going to show these Gibeonites something. I'm going to drop these hailstones out of the sky. And the Word of God said they killed more with the hailstones than they killed with the sword. Now who's fighting the battle? God is. God did it first.
Yes. Yes.
Whatever you need, God can do it. Amen.
Yes.
One more moment. We're going to pray. Donnie's going to come close as he sees fit. You need prayer. You come.